Welcome to the PAL Podcast, the first podcast for parents and caregivers in the performing arts and the institutions who support them. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts. PAL, thanks for tuning in.
All right, so this is Alicia Acuna, who's the Artistic Director of the Physical Theater Festival, which opens May 31st at Stage 773. I just want to start by asking you how the festival originated.
Both my husband and I studied physical theater in London, where we met. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, in our own journeys, we had fallen in love with physical theater or the style of making theater. Him through his own journey in the United States, he was part of this company in Texas called the Hip Pocket Theater, and people talked to him about Lecoq there, I think, or in Boston. I don't know. He had his own journey that took him to the school, and I had lived in London for a total of 10 years in London, so I had lived there, you know, for 7 years by that point, and had seen so much physical theater. And there was this amazing, the London Mime Festival in January in London, that brought so much physical theater to London, also from outside. And I had fallen in love. And then I worked also in for a theater company called Conflict Zone, that we created a play for 7 months. We were like devising and creating, and writers would come and write a little bit for us, and then we would improvise. And I got really interested in this way of making theater. And someone was reading a Lecoq book, mm-hmm. during the process, and I read it too. And then I just applied for the school and then got into this journey of physical theater at LISPA.
Okay, great. So then you came to Chicago.
Then we came to Chicago,
and
yes.
There isn't really the same community of physical theater here as there is in London.
Yes.
Or in all of Europe, probably.
Yes, yes. I feel that, we got to Chicago, and what I found was an amazing theater town with over, I think, 200 storefront theaters, right? Or
Something like that.
With amazing acting, with amazing storytelling, with amazing theater professionals. But where this type of theater, where this type of physical theater wasn't very represented. There are companies, of course, doing it, but they're not the majority of the companies in Chicago. So we felt that there was space to explore and to bring companies and to promote physical theater in the city.
And how did the first festival happen? And I know that it was also related to you becoming a parent artist.
Yes.
And an artistic director at the same time.
Yes. So I think Mark and I loved the London Mime Festival. And we always thought, as soon as we got to Chicago, my background was as an actor. And also I've worked a lot in production of festivals, either film festivals, mm-hmm. or theater festivals. And when I was leaving London, I was working at the Casa Latin American Theater Festival in London, uh-huh. as their marketing director. And so we came to Chicago, and we always dreamt of doing the London Mime Festival here, mm-hmm. you know, to have this huge physical theater festival. But it was something that we thought we were going to do in our 60s.
Right.
You know, like when we retired, we talked about it, but as if it was a distant dream. And one day we were in a coffee shop, and I was, I think, 3 months pregnant, and Mark had worked a lot with Lynx Hall, mm-hmm. with his own theater company. And we received this email from Lynx Hall looking they had this curatorial program, and they were looking for applications. And the deadline was that afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, oh, we don't have anything to do in the next 3 hours. Let's imagine. let's apply, thinking that we would never get let's apply with a festival. Yeah, let's think. So we dreamt in 3 hours, we dreamt a festival. Wow. And I think it had been brewing in our minds, because mm-hmm. it came very naturally. you know, like, and we did, it was the easiest application we've ever done in our lives. We applied, we sent, and we didn't think about it anymore. And I don't know, a month later or 2 months later, we received the reply saying that we got it. Wow. We had to do it. And yeah, and then it was like, okay, one thing after the other, and 6 years later, we are here in the sixth edition of the festival.
Wow. So you were 3 months pregnant when you wrote that application.
Yes.
And then, so when was the actual first festival?
My son was 4 months old.
Wow.
When the first festival happened. And I have to say, we always joke that it was a mixture of ignorance and arrogance that made this festival happen, or most things in our lives, because I didn't have the idea of what having a baby meant. I thought delivery, and then the baby's going to sleep, and it's going to be fine.
Right.
You know, like, that's it. I have to feed, sleep, and I didn't think very much beyond
right.
that in the realities of having a baby. So I feel like, in a way, well, I had, for a short time, period of time, I had twins.
Oh,
know,
wow.
Just because of the baby
yeah.
and the, you know, and the
yes.
festival at the same time. We say it's our third child is the festival.
Right, exactly. That's so funny. So how has your experience been as a parent artist? But I mean, both with the festival and as an actor.
I think it's
in Chicago.
I think it's been good. It's hard, right? It's a lot of work. There's a lot of planning and managing, and there's not a lot of, like, free time doesn't exist anymore. But I think it's been good. I think one can nurture the other. But it's just a process that you have to, like, learn how to do this, right? Look, or I strive that, you know, like, to keep in the mind frame that one can nurture the other, and they can, right? It's very easy to tip this balance,
right?
And, you know, like, and become chaos. But I think I'm always trying to put that into that perspective into place
yeah.
again. Does it make sense?
It does. Are your kids now sort of, are they around the festival? Are they in rehearsals? Do they go and see? Are they sort of, I sort of feel like physical theater can be very playful.
Yeah.
And that is kind of an ideal environment to have kids in the room. And
yes.
They just by nature of being children sort of inspire that playfulness.
Uh-huh.
Are they sort of, not involved, but you know what I mean, around?
I think more and more I want them to be in that aspect. That's why we created these programs in the festival. That's why the babysitting for that one play. That's why the other clown, you know, there's a clown that's going to do a show for kids in the festival. I think in the beginning they weren't so much. I couldn't handle both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, also I didn't see that example.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I got into rooms that nobody had a baby. Nobody had children, right? All my friends didn't have children. I also had been in Chicago for 5 years, right? So the friends I naturally made in Chicago were people without children, and then I had my child. So I think in the beginning, I kept things very separate. I got a babysitter, and my children would stay at home, and then I would go and, you know, like, and play this role at the
right.
festival and then come back. And then, of course, during the day, I would do errands with them or,
yeah.
you know, meet the artists. And everyone was always very welcoming to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, because I didn't see it around, I didn't do that. Even for auditions, I would ask friends to come and take care of my children so I could go to auditions. And I think with my second, and now as I get more, you know, at ease with both roles, I think I want to incorporate them more. I want them to be more present. And I want the spaces that I create for artists to be welcoming of that.
Yeah. So what, where did the, well, I guess I know where the idea came from to provide childcare, obviously, because it's a need that we all have.
Yeah.
So how did it come about, the plan for the festival this year? So you're providing childcare for a performance on June 2nd.
Yes.
And then there's another performance that's for children.
Yes.
And how did all of that come about?
So, I think I really want to be inclusive in this festival of all people, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, that takes, and I think especially more and more I become conscious of that throughout the years. And it starts with the programming. You know, I wanted the festival to have half women performers, half, or close to these numbers, mm-hmm. half men performers, half people of color, half European or, you know, not, I don't know. I wanted the festival to be, you know, like inclusive of everyone, and then also to the audiences, right? To bring audiences from all, everyone would be welcome. I want the space to be welcoming to everybody. Mm-hmm. And parents,
yeah.
right? Parents are a part of that. And I feel that it's so hard sometimes to either you to do things with kids, right? Because you have to do the things for your kids, mm-hmm. right? And therefore you're not doing what you want to do. You know, you have to do, which is natural because, you know, when you have a family, the priority becomes what will make the family happier.
Right.
But I'm like, why not have one performance of this? Why not have one performance of this play that I love? That it's the first play that we're bringing back to the festival. It was performed in 2014 and it was a huge success. And for like all these years, we've had people begging to bring this play back.
Wow.
Why not make it accessible to parents by providing babysitting next door in the theater?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, parent, like the family will get into the lobby together. They'll separate for an hour where the kids will be with babysitters from the childcare where my Willow Tree, where my children go.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll watch a play with, you know, your partner or your friends, and then you'll meet again back at the lobby an hour later and
yeah,
go home together.
Sounds easy.
It
sound so easy. And I know this hasn't actually happened yet, this performance, but what advice now, having sort of started this process, could you offer other producers or other theater companies that are trying to offer childcare? We've had, I feel, in the past few years, more and more companies want to provide this as something for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything that you've learned along the way so far?
It was very easy to do, right? I was determined
mm-hmm.
to make it work, but also I'm in a position that I'm, you know, overwhelmed with work, right? So if something is not... The process, I was determined, but also the doors opened very easily in front
That's
of
great.
Me once I put the thought and talk to people. So I called Stage 773 and I said, I'm thinking of doing this, but I need a space.
Right.
And they're like, okay, if it's only for an hour and a half, you know, of course you can have the space next door. Nobody's using it. And yes, let's do this.
Wow.
And I'm like, great. 773 said yes, and I have a space. Then I was thinking of, okay, who's going to take care of the children, right?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so I need to have some guarantee that they are professionals. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, my children go to daycare. I'm going to talk to the director at my daycare and see if somebody is available for them because
mm-hmm.
these are, you know, people that are used to taking care of kids from 7 in the morning to 6 p.m. at night. And the director was, oh, that's a great idea. I'm, you know, like, we want to make, yeah, I love the motivation behind this idea.
Right.
Let's make it work. She sent an email, and I have three teachers coming
Fantastic.
To do it. And they're used to, you know, taking care of kids of those ages.
Multiple ages. Wow.
So it was very simple.
And I mean, I think that's the lesson, is that once you have the will to do something to make your
yeah.
theater, your festival, more inclusive to parents, you can do it.
Yes.
And it's not cost prohibitive. It's not... something that's going to get in the way of the rest of the festival. It's sort of just a little...
And even more, because I think the funny thing is, it is a gain to the festival. I've sold more tickets to that Sunday afternoon performance
mm-hmm.
because of the babysitting than to the other performances.
That's amazing.
So I'm also trying to get audiences that I wouldn't reach otherwise.
Right?
And that... It happens. So it's a gain. I don't think it's a no-brainer for me. And you know, I'm getting the sales every day, and it's selling very well. So
that's incredible. I think that's amazing, and I want to just thank you for telling me about this. And we're gonna share this through PAL, and hopefully you'll get more of those ticket sales. And also, just it's always great to connect and share resources.
Yes, thank you
for
thank
parents
you so much.
And support each other.
Thanks for joining us. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts, PAL. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website at PAALtheaterre.com. Let's organize, network, and create.
Yay!